Hey, listen, I've got a word today. You know, last week, how many were here last week? Can I see your hand? You know, we talked about that little story of Noah and how Noah was making up excuses. And he said, Lord, you know that pitch that you wanted me to put on the outside and on the inside? It's on back order. What do you want me to do? You know, remember the excuses? He had some good ones. Then he said this. He said, my sons, they formed a singing group and they're out on tour. I can't build this thing by myself. How many know that it's time for Noah more excuses, huh? Come on, look at somebody and say, Noah more excuses, huh? Come on, Noah more excuses. Come on, church. You know, I don't know if you're here today and you've had financial collapse. Maybe you've had foreclosure or bankruptcy. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you've had some other calamity or catastrophe hit your home or your family. I want to tell you, though, even though those things have occurred, you're not a failure. And you're not defeated. Because until your faith fails, that's when failure comes. Sometimes you're in the middle of the storm and everything else is failing, but you still believe God. How many know what I'm talking about? You've been through hell and back. But back is real important. And you may come back smelling like embers, but the fire has not touched you. I'll tell you what. People may say it's over for you. They may say that you're a failure. They may say that you've gone too far. But let me tell you something. God never writes off a human being. As long as you have faith in God, God will raise you up. You know what we tend to do? I know what I tend to do. I get in trouble. And I start looking at my problem more than I do at who's with me. I don't think about the victory. I think about the loss. I start thinking about my failure or my mistakes. But Jesus said that I'm in the midst of you. He said where two or three agree touching anything. He said I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to be there. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And I'm starting to train my senses. I'm trying to train my logic. I'm trying to train my mind to get my eyes off the problem and start looking at the person who's right with me and begin to focus on Jesus. It's time for us to get our eyes on the Lord. And you know what? I know that there are a lot of difficulties in life, and I'm not minimizing those. But you know the war that we're in today? The battle that you and I are in today, the spiritual fight, is a fight of faith, church. And we've got to get off of the passive role that we have fallen into. In other words, you know what most of the church has done? We just accept without a fight our conditions, thinking it's the will of God. Let me tell you something. I've consulted the book, and I found out that it's not the will of God that I be defeated or depressed. It's not the will of God that I walk into sickness or that I have some kind of a depression, that it's the God's plan to punish me or somehow correct me. That's not how God corrects his people. He disciplines them through the word of God. And we've got so much religion out there that we as a church have become disillusioned, thinking, God, why are you allowing all these problems? You know what I hear more than not? I hear people asking me, Pastor, do you think God's punishing me? And I say, absolutely not. God loves you, and he's got a great plan for your life. Why would he punish you? Well, I've done this, and I've done that. Listen to me. If you can go to Christ, you can come to God through Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins, you're going to have to talk him in to what you're talking about, because he doesn't even remember it. You see, it's just haunting us, but God's already let it go. Look at somebody and say, just let it go. Come on, you got to learn to let it go. You can't keep holding on to stuff that God's already forgotten about. That's how the devil tries to control us. That's how he tries to defeat us. You and I are not a failure until our faith fails. And I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 22. Because the Bible says there that Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, he said, I want you to know that Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. He said, I want you to know that there is a requisition that's come to me to see you defeated. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith shall not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. We've all gone through tough times. Every one of us have had situations that have crumbled in our life. And we began to take on responsibility for it. Sometimes we've made wrong choices. Sometimes we've made wrong decisions. But let me tell you something. While the devil will rub your nose in it, God will wipe it off. And he'll point you in a new direction and let you know that he has a plan for you, that he has a future for you, and he has a hope in your future. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get our faith back. It's time for us to begin to walk by faith and not by sight. Because here's where the battle is. It's not against the devil as much as it is against the way you think. The real fight of faith has to do with logic, our sensory realm that tells us it's not going to happen, our perspective on life. When people say things, when we get certain notices in the mail, when the doctor tells us certain things, when our friends begin to act dumb. Have you ever had anybody in your life that got dumb and all of a sudden it impacted you? It's like, I wasn't even being dumb, but you are dumb, got on me. Now I got all kinds of problems. Have you ever had a friend that just got dumb? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's your spouse. Don't admit it. I heard that. She said, careful. It was kind of cute this morning. We met a lady that had just come to the church two times. And she leaned over to my wife. And she said, we're really excited to be here. She said, but my husband, he just got saved. So she was just a little bit concerned about what he was going to think of all of this. He's not used to seeing people worship and bless the Lord and being vocal in their faith. And she said, he just got saved. Thank God he got saved, but he just got saved. You know, there's a time that is coming upon the church in light of what's happening. We talked about it this past Wednesday, the 70 weeks of Daniel, out of Daniel chapter 9, and how the 69 weeks of God's time clock dealt with Israel, and how he stopped the time clock. And there was an interlude called grace, or the church age, when you and I now have been given opportunity to be saved, that the Spirit of the Lord went out into every nation, every tongue, every tribe. You see, we are the Gentiles that are being ushered in and grafted into the vine. But on the time clock of God, that's about to end. And once again, the time will begin to tick as God deals with Israel. That's called the 70th week of Daniel. That's where we interpret the 7 years of tribulation. I don't know how long that is before that comes to pass. I don't know when the alarm will go off and the church age will end and the 7 years of tribulation will begin, but I do know this. We still have time. And whether you cash in faith in the last hour, or you've been walking in faith all your walk with God, do you know that God will reward us the same? And so you and I still have time to get back in faith and get out of a passive lifestyle. You know, we become professional pew sitters. I don't know where we got so professional at it. It seems like some of us have gone to college to learn how to be a professional pew sitter. That we go to church, but we don't really change. We go to the church and the Sunday school and take classes and seminars and listen to tapes, but our families are still falling apart. Our lives are still a wreck. You know, I believe that the passivity that has kind of overtaken the church has got to come to an end. And we've got to get our fight back. Now, I know you don't like to talk in church, but I'm going to ask you to do it. Look at somebody and say, I'm getting my fight back. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 said, the just shall live by faith. So it doesn't matter how I feel, what I see, what I hear. I'm going to live by faith. You know, you often wonder, God, if you've already given me the promises, why do I have to fight for them? Some of us have given up on fighting. Some of us have been told in churches and in religious circles that it's God's will that you die early. That it's God's will that your marriage be a disaster. Or it's God's plan that your business fold. You see, we have succumbed to what we call the fate of a believer. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what I read in my Bible. And if we can just get our fight back and fight one more time. If we can just get back into training in righteousness one more time. I know you've been knocked down round after round. And after 9 times looking up at the lights laying flat back on the canvas, you think, if I get up again, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get knocked out again. But I got good news for you. The fight that Paul was talking about to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 was called the fight of faith. It was called the good fight of faith. And let me tell you what a good fight is. It's the one that you win. And God wouldn't have told us to fight a good fight of faith if He didn't expect you to win. So I want you to begin to get the idea in your own spirit that no matter what it looks like, I'm going to win. Just throw your hand up to heaven and thank God that you're a winner, that you're a conqueror, that you've got more than enough, and that you are about to break through and not break down. Amen? I like the definition of the word passive. It really identifies where many of the believers are today. It means this: accepting or submitting without objection or resistance. You know, you don't have to do everything everybody tells you to do. You don't have to align yourself with a system in this world that says you ought to be depressed just like us. Or if the system says we're in recession, so you ought to be unemployed. Well, I'm choosing not to participate in your recession. I believe that I can walk by faith and God can take me right through this thing. I know it's dark where you live, but my address is 777 Goshen Drive. Listen, I believe that God will shed light where there is only darkness. And God will give you strength where there's only been weakness. Because that's the kind of God that He is. But you can't experience this sitting back hoping that the Lord will deliver it to your front door in a little shoebox so you can open it up and go, oh, joy! We become so passive, we are failing to even initiate any action in return. You know, when I was a kid, I used to hang out with some rowdy guys. And you had to respect us. If you didn't respect us, you were in trouble. Because there were a lot of us. We were in a gang or a club. We were called the gents. And while we sounded gentlemanly, we didn't act like it. And so if you talk bad about one of us, or you began to hurt one of us, you had to deal with all of us. And we couldn't afford to allow somebody else in another gang, the Sahibs or the Southerners or any of those other groups that were hanging out when I was hanging out, to get one up on us. Because if they did, they would see us as weak and defeatable. So for our own honor and for the crest that we carried, we had to get our fight back. And sometimes we had to get chains and clubs. You say, Pastor? Pastor? Get your switchblade out. You know, get your beer bottle, whatever you got to do. And let's get it on. Listen, in the spirit, we have got to learn that the pew is only a temporary resting place to rejuvenate and to build your faith. And that we're only in a brief timeout between rounds. This isn't where you and I live. It's where you and I get restored and renewed so we can get back in the fight. It's time to get back in the fight. And you and I have got to get a resolve about us to say, you know what? I've been sitting around way too long expecting God to deliver this to me in a shoebox on my front doorstep when all along the devil has confused me and led me to believe that that's the way it is. If that's the way it is, then why in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7 and 8 did God have to fight? If you think you don't have to fight, why did God have to fight? Look what it says, and war broke out in heaven. We've heard of war in Afghanistan. We've heard of war in Bosnia. We've heard of war all over the earth. But did you know there's a war in heaven? Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. In other words, God said, hey, we've got to get it on. There's somebody here that's challenging. You know what? The whole angelic force didn't talk over coffee and say, must be God's will that God not be God and Lucifer take over. How ridiculous is that? It's about the same ridiculous as the people who call the name of Jesus to believe that it's God's will that you get sick and die before your time. Wait a minute. God's God and Lucifer's not. That means if he's going to be God, then we're going to have to fight for it. So if God had to fight, what makes you think that you and I won't have to fight? There's going to be times where you're going to have to get aggressive. You and I are going to have to get vocal. Now, don't tell me you can't get vocal. I've heard some of you yell at your kids. You got it inside of you. It just has to be provoked. Some people will say, now don't make me mad. Oh, if you make me, you don't want to see me mad. You know, some of us, we look so passive. We come into church. We're so Christian. Hi, God bless you. Praise the Lord. But boy, if truth be known, if somebody crosses you, you got these fangs that come out. And you get big like the Hulk, and you're about ready to tear somebody up. But in the spirit, aren't we really like that? You know, gentle as a lamb. But boy, we got the roar of a lion. And it's time to let our roar out and get aggressive. That's probably why Paul said to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. He told him that you're going to have to fight if you're going to win. You and I, we don't have to accept the fact that our marriage is crumbling. We don't have to accept the fact that you are classified into the same arena as everybody else. You know, this is a mental adjustment that you and I have to make. This past week, I went in for my yearly physical. And I've noticed something about older people. I can say this now because I am one. I'm going to be 60 years old here pretty soon. And you know what I've learned about older people? They have a conversation topic that I don't want to participate in. All they talk about is what ain't working. Yeah, I went to the doctor the other day. I tell you, my back, man, ain't never been this bad before. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I resist being old and sick and non-functional. You say, well, wait a minute, wait a minute. You say, yeah, but the truth is the truth. Honey, I'm going to tell you what the truth is. I might be crawling in here this morning because I'm in pain. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his holy name. I might look a little foolish to you, but I don't really care. I'm not serving you anyway. I'm serving a living God. And I just don't want to participate. So here I go. I went into the Cleveland Clinic for my annual physical. Whew, that's a real challenge. And I walked up to the second floor. There must have been at least 75 people in the waiting room. When I walked in there, I was provoked in my spirit. And I said, I am not sitting among all them sick folk. Now, I've been sick. I've had weakness in my body. Don't think that what I'm sharing with you is condemning people who are sick or take medicine. Look, I got some stuff in my pocket right now. Look. That's a faith pill. So as I walked into the waiting room, I said, I'm not going to sit down there because I am not going to act as if I'm one of them. So I stood up against the wall. I did. I stood up against the wall. I said, I'm healthy. I'm whole. I might be the best report, blood work. Doctor's going to say, man, for a 60-year-old man, you got a body of a 20-year-old. I'm thinking all this stuff, right? So 15 minutes went by, half hour went by, 45 minutes went by. I'm getting tired of standing. I said, I'm going to have to get in there and get me a seat. I said, no, I ain't going to sit down among all them. No, I'm strong in the Lord, the power of his might. I'm serious. Yeah, I know. I am delusional. Finally, this lady that was working way on the other side at the desk came over to me. She said, "Excuse me, sir." She said, "Do you have an appointment?" See, people were coming in and out. They thought I was security or something because every time they'd walk by, they'd go. I said, good afternoon, how are you? I stood right at the door. I didn't go any further than the door. She said, you've been here standing a long time. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I've been standing here a long time." She said, "Well, do you have an appointment?" I said, "Yeah." Now, she had to ask me if I had an appointment because I wasn't sitting where appointment people sit. So I stand about here where the security guys are. So she said, "Let me go find out." So she went back. They came. "You're next." I said, "Thank you very much." So you and I, just because you're in a setting, scenario. Look, if I'm in unemployment, 9.6% of Americans are not working today. In Northeastern Ohio, it's got to be a little higher than that. If I was in the unemployment line, I'd be in a three-piece with a suitcase. With a briefcase, I'd be standing here going, "Yep, I'm about to get me a promotion. Yep, I'm getting a promotion. I don't know, somebody's going to just break in this line. Excuse me, if somebody comes in and calls my name, it's because they're wanting to offer me this great position and great job." I wouldn't be sitting there with a hoodie on. Gym shoes aren't even tied. You just slipped into them so you can get your check. Come on. What I'm saying is you don't have to give in to the sentiments of everybody and everything around you. But I'm going to tell you this. Once you take this stand, people are going to think you're weird. Like, what's you doing standing over there? That's my business. Because I choose to stand there. Because this ain't about you. It's about me. It's about maintaining a mentality. I'm fighting the way I think about me, because how I think about me is how I'm going to live. My perspective about my situation will determine my conclusion of my situation. Therefore, I've got to get the right perspective about my situation. See, it's like looking at a parade in a hole in a fence. If you take a knot hole in the fence and look at the parade, all you see is one float. And that perspective, if you could put that up on the screen, that perspective, all that'll do for you is give you a conclusion of the matter. In other words, it will create in your mind's eye that that's all there is. There is nothing else. However, if you change your position, if you get the proper perspective on a thing, suddenly you see the beginning from the end. And that's the whole revelation of Jesus in Revelation 1 and 8. He said, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega." And the way we see our life is the way we will conclude our life. And so I've got to see my life as healthy. I've got to see my marriage as good. I've got to see my finances as more than enough. I've got to begin to see my future as a hope and as a promise that comes from God, and can't give in to the headlines and everybody else's opinion. See, everybody's going to have an opinion about it. You know, this kind of a lifestyle is fun. It really is. It will provoke you. You see, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 reads this way. "Examine yourselves as to whether or not you are in the faith." You know, inventory. I need to look at every area of my life and ask, am I in faith in that area? If I'm not in faith in that area, then I need to make some adjustments. For example, what did God say? He told Israel that I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with what? Milk and honey. He said it's a good land. There's going to be houses there you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant. I'm just going to give it all to you to be a blessing to you. In other words, they were leaving the land of just enough to go into a land of more than enough. But on the way there, they sent 12 spies, and two of them came with a good report. 10 of them swayed 2 million of them that they couldn't do it. The majority of the people in your life will always tell you why God can't rather than why God should. And so they weren't able to enter in. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 5 says, God was not pleased with most of them, and they died in the wilderness. Did you know that the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith? Did you know that? That's what it says in Hebrews, that it's impossible to please God without faith. So I'm asking myself, what is faith? Faith is a fight. So God, if you've already given me healing, why do I have to fight for it? If you've already given me peace, why do I have to fight for it? God, why is this such a struggle? I mean, if you want to bless us, just bless me. So we're waiting for that shoebox to show up. But here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, listen, if I just gave it to you, if I just allowed you to have it without using your faith to get it, there would be no demonstration of trust in who I am. Because if you can trust me when the things don't look right, when people aren't acting right, when the money's not in the account, when you get the pink slip, when people walk out on you, and you still can bless me, and you can still make provision for your future because of the way that I promised it, he said, that's when you glorify me, is when you don't change your position, but you stay faithful in what I've already told you. I said, God, you know what? That is so hard because my mind talks to me. My emotions overwhelm me. People influence me. My body feels real pain at times. Depression is hard. It makes me want to crawl away. It makes me want to quit and give up. See, this is where the fight of faith comes. You're not fighting the devil as much as you're fighting the way you think and the way you and I have been conditioned to respond to life. That's why we become professional pew sitters. It's just the easy way. We think that if we'll just show up, somehow by osmosis, we'll get what we need. If somehow we just give God enough money, we'll get his attention and he'll give us favor. Let me tell you something. The Bible does not say that you get favor when you give lots of money. I just get a little irritated, and I want to make calls and write letters and break in on studios on Christian TV to say, you are leading people astray, sir, because God's not pleased when you give him money. God's only pleased when you walk by faith. And now I know that you're talking about faith in giving something, but please, sir, don't manipulate God's people for your own percentage of what you raise. We're not teaching people how to enter faith. We're not teaching people how to enter promises. We're just trying to take from them what they have left and give them a false hope that if you give it, God will change it. Let me tell you something. God's not going to change anything unless you and I enter in by faith. See, you and I have got to get a determination today to say enough with the Christian nonsense, enough with all this religiosity, enough with this passive ideas about how we receive from God, but I'm going to make a decision to increase my faith. I'm going to begin to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to begin to say to the Lord, Father, I know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, I've got in my pocket this morning for a disbursement in my life, faith pills. Now, this is nothing more than a mineral supplement that I take every day. It's something to help my physical body. It's not medicinal anyway. It's not a drug. It's all natural. But let me just use the analogy. See, if we're not taking faith every day, your body is becoming weak. Your faith, your spirit is becoming weak. Faith is what will build you up. And I don't know why. It's like in the natural. People buy supplements, minerals, vitamins, pay good money for it, put them on the shelf and never take them. Don't shout me down. At least that's the way it is in our house. And how is it that God said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but we never take it? We never open up that word and by faith say, God, you're feeding my spirit, and I know that I am growing in faith. I refuse to allow the waiting room mentality to impact me. I'm going to stand alone for you. I'm not participating what everybody else has generally accepted. I don't even care if it's the church. I don't care if it's the deacons in the church. I don't care if it's all the elders in the church. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not moved by denominationalism or bishopry or robes or regalia. I am moved only by what God's word declares. And until we can leave that place and begin to embrace the purity of God's word, church, we're going to continue to struggle with our faith. Because man will always let you down. Don't permit your perspective to become the conclusion of your matter. You see, I believe that the worst kind of blindness in this generation is not blind eyes, it's blind minds. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 says, the God of this world is blinding the minds of the unbelievers. You see, I don't want a blind mind. I want to be able to see what God has said. And if the devil can blind my mind, and if I can't see what he said, I'm never going to enter in to what he's given. So I don't want a blind mind. And church, you and I have got to get our mind's eye open so we can see what God has declared to us. See, the Lord told the nation of Israel, I want you to cross over the river Arnon, and I want you to possess the land. This is 40 years later after most of them died in the wilderness because God wasn't pleased with them, because they didn't walk in faith into the promises of God. When I think about that, I said, Lord, where in my life have I not entered into your promise? Have I not entered into your promise in my marriage? Am I not loving my wife the way Christ loved the church? Then I need to enter into that promise, because you would not be pleased with me until I do. I'm much like Israel. I can sit back and we can say, look at old Israel. God gave them the promise and they didn't even go in. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They didn't even want to believe God at his word. You know what? We're no different. We don't enter into the blessing of a covenant of marriage. We don't enter into the financial sector that God wants us to through his understanding of faith by offering the tithe. We think that if we kept the tithe, we're going to be better off. See, we're so defeated in our physical health. We have not allowed God to be the Lord and the doctor of our own physical bodies. We have not entered into the area of peace. We are on so much medicine and Valium and seeing psychiatrists. And we're trying to get fixed by the standard of the world. Listen, I understand that some of those things are sometimes necessary. But church, let's give God equal time. Let's give faith an opportunity to elevate us from depression to great joy. Let's give faith an opportunity from taking us from the divorce court into the courts of the Lord. Let's give faith an opportunity to take us away from that constant depression into a place where we feel like we are more than conquerors. See, that is where God wants us to go. So we have to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. Here it is in verse 24 of Deuteronomy 2. He said, I want you to take the promised land. But when you do, he said, something is going to happen. Look at it with me, please. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. Rise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I've given into your hand Sihon the Amorite. Now, isn't that interesting? God said, I want you to go take the promised land. Oh, by the way, there's going to be a king named Sihon, and he's going to refuse your entrance. Okay, God, if you said I can have it, why do I got to deal with this guy? Now, interestingly, you know what Sihon means? Tempestuous. You know what tempestuous is? A great storm. Isn't that the way it often is? You get a word from God, you get ready to possess the promise, and as soon as you get there, a big storm arises in your life. All hell breaks loose, but that's good. At least it's breaking loose. You think, God, why? I'm tithing. Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I'm serving. Why this big storm? Why, Abraham, did you have to take Isaac to Mount Moriah and there offer to him a sacrifice to God? That's the chosen seed. Why? Abraham, stop. Now I know. You know, God already knows what we're going to do. He wants us to know what we're going to do. Are you going to believe God, or are you going to continue to be passive and allow life to pass you by? The way we can impact a city, the way we can impact our families and our youth of this generation is to display a people like Joshua and Caleb, that it doesn't matter what the odds are. It doesn't matter how bad the recession. It doesn't matter how many sick people are in the room. I'm not participating. Storms often arise. In verse 30, Sihon, king of Heshbon, will not let us pass through. He would not let us pass through. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he may deliver him into your hand as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, see, I've begun to give Sihon, or the storm, and his land over to you. Begin to possess it that you may inherit his land. So wait a second, God, I'm trying to get my hand that's around this here. I'm trying to understand this. You're saying, you're telling me to go into the promise, but then you're saying you're allowing a storm to come into my life. Then you're saying that you even harden his heart so the storm is tempestuous. Why do you want to do this? And the Lord says, look, I've begun to give him and his land over to you. Begin to possess it. If you can begin to possess it, you'll inherit his land. Years ago, my wife and I read a book on marriage. It's called, Oh, you read it, but I read it too. I snuck. Total Woman. Maribel Morgan. It's out of print. But this book is, Shazam. It's a good book. Performed a wedding yesterday. I felt like I was in a storybook. Sandra, you sang so beautifully. I don't know. Sandra here this morning? There she is. You sang so beautifully. I was sitting there watching you, and them flowy curtain things were all over. And the bride was like, she was beautiful. And Sandra, I said, I'm in a movie. Someday my prince will come. I had to really think, okay, what am I supposed to do next? I got caught up in the moment. It was incredible. You know, some couples, before they say, I do, she says, redo. But you know how to relate to your husband? It's real easy. This woman talked about how to train a man is like training a dog. Now, don't get upset, guys. You're going to like what I'm about to say. If you feed that dog, pat that dog on the head and give him treats every time he barks. Okay, guys, work with me, work with me, work with me. Arr, 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 arr. You got to work it. I know storms are tough, man. Some of you are going through some tough times. I know that. I've been through some tough times. But through is an important word. And you know, sometimes someone said that you have to feel the storm in order to realize the worth of an anchor. He said, I want you to go and possess the land and inherit what that storm has taken as a possession. It's for you. Don't recoil from the storm. Stand up against it. You see, I want to show you an image up there of the great storm and the lighthouse, because there's power in the tower. And the Lord is a strong tower in which we run into. And sometimes that storm is so tempestuous, so violent. I think, God, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is, help! And I'm not moving from my position of faith. And that big wave crashes around you, and that tower stands strong. And after the water has dissipated and the winds have ceased, you may be dripping, you may look a mess, but you're standing in the tower with all the power. And I want to encourage you today, no matter what you're going through, stand in faith. Don't you give up and don't you back down. And you fight. This is a time for us to begin to fight for our homes, our children, our marriages. Let's fight for our church. Let's begin to fight for our community. My goodness, let's fight for our country. Let's begin to fight for the homeless. Fight for those that are sick with AIDS. Fight for those that nobody wants and they've been abandoned. Fight for those that are hurt and disillusioned about church. It's time that we fight for them. And sometimes when you're going through a difficult time, like John that I know this morning has to have brain surgery just a week from Monday. And they're, not this John, but another John. I don't want to spread rumors about you, brother. But they have to drill through his cranium. They have to remove a growth in his brain. Not only did this the first time, but this is the second time. He just came through it. And sometimes you'll have to go through the storm. But you know what we need when we're going through the storm? Is we need somebody to help us fight. My strength as a member of the gents gang was the fact that I had 40 other guys that if you hit me, you hit all 39 of us. And let me tell you something, what we need is church. We need one another. And when I'm going in for surgery to get my brain drilled on, my God, would you stand with me and help me? Come on, put your insignia on. Let's show unity. Let's show the power and the strength. This isn't time to walk away from the church. This isn't time to segregate yourself from the church. We need each other because we're all in a fight for our lives. And I need your help. And you need my help. Because when I'm weak, you can be strong. But when you're weak, I'm coming to your side. I'm going to stand with you. That's what it's all about, church, is that we understand we're the body of Christ. Amen? Stand up on your feet. Praise God. Sometimes you'll not possess until you contend. Faith is for fighting and not talking. Sometimes faith really is seeing better in fighting than it is praying, because you can pray without fighting. I like what Hebrews said. I like what Timothy said about faith. To please God, it's a fight. To lay hold on eternal life. The violent take it by force. Look, I know what life was before I met Jesus. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, the songwriter wrote. But on Christ, the solid rock, I stand, and all other ground, sinking sand. Jesus said, it's like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. That when the winds blow and the rains begin to fall, that house will stand. You might be in the midst of the worst storm of your life, but have faith in God. You might be in the middle of the worst storm of your life, but you have a tower of true power. And his name is Jesus. Elders, I need your faith. The people need your faith. And I'd like for you to stand across the front of this great hall, of which God has built. Because there's moms and dads here today that are going through a storm. Maybe with a child. Maybe with your past. Maybe with your marriage. God is able. And we want to pray with you. We're going to stand with you and remind you that there is power in the tower. His name is Jesus. You need prayer today? Would you come out from where you're standing? Just join us across the front. A simple prayer of agreement to get our eyes off of the problem and on the person of Jesus. Let's lift our hands. worship. Let's worship Jesus. You need prayer, would you come? Let's agree with you right now. The victory.
The victory is won. He has risen from the dead, and I will rise.
Come on, lift up your hand to Jesus.
When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will rise. On he goes wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will
prayer. We want to pray.
That's
what it's all about, isn't it?
And my faith shall be my eye.
Come on, Jesus.
And Jesus has overcome. And the grave is overwhelmed.
I feel faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, how great you are, how holy you are, we bless you today. We pray one for another. Lord, I pray for the person whose hand I hold, that their faith will not fail. Jesus, strengthen them inside and manifest it outside. Every battle, for every challenge, we pray now, God, for supernatural strength in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, you've never been born again, if you were to die today, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell, we want to pray for you. So make your way from where you're standing. Find some of these people to pray with. We're believing that God's got a great plan for your life as well. Don't forget, Wednesday night, the church at Ephesus, Book of Revelation. Also, the clam bake for the youth group. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time, right here, Church on the North Coast. God bless you. You can worship with us if you'd like.